as they link onto the course proper at the 500. Invincible Star and Fleet Review just in front of Jungle Cat, Piranha towards the inside, Red Cell coming up the middle with also Spirit of Valor, and then Red Kirk Warrior. Brave Smash needs a run. They're right across the track in her time, back towards the inside at the 200. Jungle Cat and Piranha together, followed by Red Cell. Sandra Adelaide's charging home within her time on the inside, in her time, and Sandra Adelaide stride for stride. Sandra Adelaide has beaten in her time. What a finish. Third of photo, Jungle Cat or Piranha.
What a great finish it was to the VRC sprint. What a great final day. And they've done an enormous job down there, the VRC, in building up this final day. They had a good crowd of 60,000 plus, which used to be the day where nobody really worried about it too much. In fact, 67,000 turned out for Stakes Day. They built it up as a family day, and the family has responded. 303,000 over the 4 days of the carnival. Adam Pengelly was one of those 300,000 people on at least three occasions anyway. He joins us on the line. Hi, Adam.
Morning, TK. Morning, Laura. Yeah, fantastic day to finish the carnival, wasn't it?
Terrific, mate. And I guess the question is, who's the best sprinter in the land? Is it Red Zell with back-to-back Everest and a TJ, or is it actually Santa Ana Lane?
It's a very subjective question, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, probably make a case for
Red Zell for me, because it's one of my favourites and it's done the right thing by me.
Yeah.
Oh, I've always been a Red Zell fan as well. I suppose just on the weekend there, Santa Ana Lane just got the conditions to suit, didn't he, with the dry track.
Yeah.
Drew nicely, just get a nice smother from Mark Zara and then burst down the outside there late. I suppose connections of Santa Ana Lane and probably slot holder Inglis were ruining the fact he struck a wet track in the Everest, because we know he won the Stradbroke on grain affected going, but he just doesn't quite handle that really heavy track. And Redzel obviously loves it, just swims through it. So it's a completely different race there on the weekend. He's such an underrated horse, isn't he, Santa Ana Lane, guys? He just keeps going around at these big prices, start after start after start. Again, he was around double figures in the VRC sprint on the weekend. What do they do with him now? I'm not too sure. Anthony Friedman has sort of mentioned maybe there's a chance they go overseas next year. Maybe a Dubai. Maybe look at Ascot. I suppose being at Geraldine is probably not as fiscally attractive to head over to Ascot and try and take on some of the Europeans' best sprinters over there during their carnival. But, yeah, he'll probably head towards a TJ Smith, I would have thought, in the autumn, and then maybe towards an Everest again next year.
I'll tell you who is an underrated horse, Trap for Fools, won the McKinnon, and won it well.
Bucks.
Yeah, he's a very underrated horse, guys. He's been a horse that's been a lightning rod controversy a little bit this spring. Obviously, it was great to see Jared McLean get his first Group 1 win in his career. I know he's had a hand in a lot of Group 1s over the years with Darren Weir as his right-hand man there, but he trains his horse in his own right. And good to see Johnny Allen too as well. Obviously, Johnny's...
He had a big day, didn't he?
From Australia. Yeah, we know his story. He won the Derby a week ago and comes out and wins the McKinnon Stakes. I've got to say one thing about Johnny Allen. That Irish accent just gets me every single time. I feel like they need to be subtitled.
Yeah, I can't understand him at all.
But he can ride. I'll give you that thing. I'll give you that, TK. I suppose a lot of people were saying after the race that, you know, egg on the face of the Moonee Valley Race Club, because they left him out of the Cox Plate when he wanted to run, saying his record wasn't good enough, and now he's won a Group 1. They're saying, oh, why'd they leave him out? But you know what, guys? Personally, I thought the decision by the club a few weeks ago was probably the right one, because up until the Cox Plate, Trafford Falls had only won a couple of listed races over there in Perth, and his form over in Victoria was okay. Yes, he finished only two lengths from Winks in the Turnbull Stakes in his last run prior to Cox Plate Day, but he's not going to have any issues getting into the Cox Plate next year, put it that way.
No, and the debate remains. This was supposed to be a mini Cox Plate, the McKinnon, and all the horses from the Cox Plate were supposed to go forward to the McKinnon. That's why they shifted it from the Saturday, and that's also why they gave it it's now worth $2 million, but it didn't work out this year. But I don't think we should can it yet.
No, definitely not, TK. There was one horse that backed up out of the Cox Plate into the McKinnon this year, but what I would say is that we're in some pretty strange times at the moment with Winks absolutely dominating and decimating our weight for age ranks. When she's off the scene, I think you'll probably see a few more horses come from the Cox Plate. And look, I've been on record saying I think it's a great decision to move the McKinnon back a week further back to the final day of the carnival. It just hasn't quite reaped the rewards yet. I think if we give it a few more years, I think you'll see a lot more horses coming out of the Cox Plate and backing the McKinnon.
Yeah, well, there's a chance that Winks could always have gone forward to this, which would have been, how good would that have been for the VRC?
Yeah, well,
they would have been praying
that she went forward to the McKinnon, but that wasn't the case. What is the case with Crosscount, a Melbourne Cup winner? Adam, what's the latest?
Yeah, Laurie, he's left back for Dubai already, believe it or not. They don't
run
around some of these international horses, do they? Straight on the plane. I think it might have been either last night or today, I think it might have been. So Charlie Appleby's taking him back to the Middle East. There, he'll spell over in Charlie's Dubai stables, and Charlie's making all the right noises, saying that he'd love to see him come back and defend his Melbourne Cup crown. Now, we know how hard it is to win the Melbourne Cup more than once. Obviously, the handicap conditions of the race make it pretty difficult. But Charlie seems pretty insistent on planning his campaign next year around the Melbourne Cup. He'll work back from that. It'd be great to see him back down here for another tilt at the Spring Carnival. So just wait and see what it transpires in the next sort of 3 to 4 months and how Charlie plans out that campaign for cross-counter.
Yeah, I'm interested to have a chat with the guys on Punters Post, Mortem, Dean Lester, and also Ronnie Duffersey and Glenn Munsey after nine, Adam, because I would think, well, I don't know why you just wouldn't leave the horse here unless they go for that Dubai World Cup or one of those big rich events in, I think it's March.
Yeah, I think Sheikh Mohammed
in Dubai.
These horses. Yeah, he'd like to see his horses race with that Dubai World Cup Carnival take. I'd imagine he'd be one of those.
Yeah.
Contesting one of the races during that World Cup Carnival in March, sort of early April, and then after that, he'll go through the English flat season and then try and work towards coming back to Melbourne. But I'm interested to see what weight he gets next year. I know Greg Carpenter's on the record saying that these European three-year-olds the last couple of years have probably got in a little bit light. I don't think he'll be making the same sort of judgment again with both of those horses in terms of rekindling and cross-counter.
Yeah, we know that Hugh Bowman received 35 a race meeting suspension for his ride on Marmello in the Melbourne Cup. When's the appeal likely to be heard?
Yeah, that's tomorrow morning, Laurie. So Racing Victoria have announced that the Racing Appeals and Disciplinary Board will hear that appeal tomorrow morning about 9:30. I think it is Tuesday morning. And Hugh, I think, did you guys hear Hugh on the commentary on Channel 7?
Yeah, Channel 7, yep, he was on there.
He was fantastic. I know he's a great rider, but so insightful as well on camera as well. So I think his main bone of contention is that overweight penalty with the 21 meetings he copped for that. He was sort of saying, you know, the average, I think, for overweight penalties in the last sort of 12, 18 months has been 7 meetings. So I think that's the one they're going to really focus in on and try and get that reduced. Obviously, that Japan Cup's in the back of his mind in a couple of weeks. He's going to need a pretty hefty reduction to be able to ride in the Japan Cup. We'll see how Hugh goes tomorrow morning, guys.
We look forward to a creative excuse about how he came back overweight. Oh, it could be legitimate, but I'm sure it will be creative as well. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, boys. You enjoy your day.